becoming 3 to 4 feet in the afternoon. A west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. And tonight, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots becoming east after midnight. The wind waves 3 to 4 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2 feet. And a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. Current temperatures, Salinas is at 49 degrees. It's 46 degrees in Watsonville, 48 in Monterey. And here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, it's 48 degrees. The official time is 10:06 and 38 seconds on this Saturday, April 3rd, 2010. Up next, this Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
It's only 48 degrees.
It's only 48 here only right 48 now. I know. Yeah. I know.
Okay.
That's the way it goes.
We're at KSCO North today.
Yes, you are.
And you are at KSCO Central. I'm hearing a tiny little bit of echo, so there's something that's not quite right, but I can probably live with it.
So we've got a few people here today.
We sure do. Yeah, we have you,
mm-hmm.
Pilot in Command, Nikki James,
mm-hmm.
and we have my mother, Kay's Whirling.
Yep, she's right here.
Of Kay's Commentary fame. And we have none other than Charles Friedman.
What?
Yeah, we do have Charles Friedman. And their mics are not up because
they are up. Oh, actually, I've got it.
Actually, that was merely a reaction to the cold temperature.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Charlie, you, I heard you do a program the other day. Mm-hmm. You do a program for 3 hours with Dave Michaels.
You bet.
Every afternoon weekday drive slot on KSCO, 4 p.m. to 7.
Yes, the only happy hour where I don't get to have a G&T.
yeah, and it's a lucky thing because, you know, there are serious rules against that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and you understand why, but I'll explain it to the audience here. As a federally licensed radio station, licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, we have to adhere to their rules, and their rules are we may not, repeat, may not consume alcoholic beverages whilst on the air.
Well, not only that, but Michael, I have to drive home.
That's always a good thing.
Anyway, the program you allude to the other day was one that was inspired by one of my listeners mm-hmm. who called up and had some rather uninformed things to say about the Middle East situation. And this seems to be going on more and more nowadays, I think primarily due to the fact that for the first time we have a president of the United States who seems to be oriented against Israel, which is something we've never seen before. Israel right. became a nation in 1948 as an act of the United Nations. President Truman, a Democrat, was the first foreign leader to recognize the state of Israel. And from that time forward, it has been a bipartisan policy, whether it was a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. America was always a firm ally of Israel, just like, you know, we had our special relationship with Great Britain, for example. We've always stood with the British.
Apparently, that's over.
Apparently, it is.
But, Charlie, and what we need to do right now is officially start the program.
So oh, my goodness.
Let's do that, and then we will come back.
Do we have a... Does a policeman have to do that?
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey, well, good morning, KSCO Land. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Israel History Special. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon today, just under a couple of hours. As always, the Saturday Special is an audience participation interactive call-in program, and we encourage you to call in to 479-1080 to participate in the conversation.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Is it just me, or do you get the feeling that our president doesn't like Israel very much? In fact, doesn't it seem that if Obama had his way, Israel would not exist? That's what I'm starting to think, and obviously I hope I'm very wrong on this. But it's time for a serious discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm disturbed about all the misinformation about Israel being put out by the media. More and more people are calling KSCO talk shows who are parroting the outrage expressed by the Obama administration over Israel's intention to build homes on its own land. Excuse me? What's the problem here? Well, I think the problem is pure and simple ignorance. Join us on the next KSCO special for a presentation and discussion on the history of Israel with our resident historian, Charlie Friedman, and the matriarch of KSCO, my mom, Kay Zwirling, and me, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Imagine for Two Sobering Hours, A World Without Israel, and Shiver Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Phone lines are already starting to ring. 479-1080. Go ahead and call, though we will not be going to the phone lines for, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 minutes. We sort of want to set the stage. And the reason I asked Charlie Friedman to be on the air with us today is because I was very, very impressed with the program that I heard the other day. His own program, 4 to 7 p.m., I think it was Wednesday or Thursday of this week, during which he gave a very eloquent history of Israel. And I said, oh, my gosh, everybody needs to hear this. And so here we are on the Saturday special. Now, before we get too far into anything else here, I'm going to turn off that jingle. Nikki, I believe you are in the control room.
Not yet. Oh, okay. I'm just making sure everything's okay in
okay.
here first.
I have neglected, I just realized, to put load into my computer the current K's commentary that's running. And I think under the circumstances, we normally run K's commentaries at the top of the 11 o'clock hour on the Saturday special, but I think we should do it now. So you should be able to hightail it into the control room.
I am ready when you are.
30 seconds.
that was the wrong. Okay, I got it.
All right.
You want to play right now?
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
Got it. Here we go.
Oh, you're there already.
Oh, no, yeah, I have it in both computers.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, yep. So if you could go ahead and play the current case, we'll hear Billy's big voice.
Here we go.
Is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Philosophically, we humans grasp at inventing illogical expressions when we're uncomfortable with our own prejudices. Case in point, let's examine the expression occupied territory, which came into vogue only after the State of Israel was legally created in 1948. The British who owned the territory offered land also to the Palestinians. They declined and continue to decline. They want Israel annihilated. Immediately after Israel became a state, five Arab countries in the Middle East declared war on the new Jewish state. They were all defeated in a matter of days by the little new country. That's when the expression occupied territory or occupied land came into being. Israel the victor was and is the true owner of the conquered land. But the U.S. government calls that land occupied. Is that supposed to mean that the aggressors still own that land? Another opposite case in point. During the Mexican-American War, in 1846 through 1848, the U.S. invaded a part of Mexico known as Texas, which Mexico had received from Spain along with other land in the Southwest. The U.S. won the war, took Texas and the other states in the Southwest and California. It is said that Mexico was given a token $500 million for all that land. The Mexicans have been resentful and angry since then. They want their land back, but that will never happen. Shouldn't that conquered Mexican land also be considered occupied land? Fast forward to the present situation. Jordan, a country which owned East Jerusalem in 1948, wanted all of Jerusalem shortly thereafter. So she declared war on Israel. She lost. So now Israel owns that territory. The U.S. maintains it is occupied land, and Obama forbids Israel to build houses there, even high-rise apartments, for its burgeoning citizenship. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has told Obama he cannot dictate to Israel about Israeli land, and therein lies the stalemate between the two democracies. I say kudos to Netanyahu for not allowing the U.S. to bully Israel. Meanwhile, the despicable U.S. media picks and chooses what it wants to expose and never mentions that Israel won all that land. It's all unfair, unjust, untrue, and Israel stands totally on its own. Please, someone explain the nonsensical expression occupied land or occupied territory, which is only used for territory won fair and square by the Jewish state of Israel after it is attacked. It's an honest issue our government refuses to recognize. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, thanks, Ma. And you are in the studio today with us. You are, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Michael.
Hey, Ma, welcome to...
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And
with Charlie.
So this is something that we've... I don't know, we probably should have done long before now, but Israel is certainly in the news, and the snubbing of what I consider a snubbing of the Israeli prime minister by our president recently, that really, really bothered me.
Well, there's no question it was definitely a snub, but the one thing I'd like to do before we go any further is to answer Kay's question. She asks somebody to please explain occupied territory. I can do that.
Good.
For one thing, the term occupied territory, I think Kay made a mistake when she said this term came into being after 1948. Actually, it came into being after 1967, the Six-Day War.
Oh, okay.
At that time, Israel, occupied 7,000 square miles. Israel did not have the West Bank. Israel did not have East Jerusalem, did not have the Golan Heights, did not have the Sinai Peninsula. In 1967, June of 1967, Israel's Arab neighbors all attacked her at once. This would be Syria, Jordan, and Israel, and Egypt, I beg your pardon. The Israelis, in an absolutely brilliant military campaign under Moshe Dayan, defeated all three of these countries on all three fronts, and as a result of this, actually seized territory from each of these countries. The Sinai Peninsula from Egypt, the entire West Bank from Jordan, and the Golan Heights from Syria. Now, Israel herself has referred to this as occupied territory, so the term is in general use. It's not a controversial thing. And the most successful piece of Mideast diplomacy of the past half century involves the return of the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt in return for Egyptian recognition of Israel and a conclusion of a lasting treaty of peace. This was the best, as a matter of fact, the only really good accomplishment of the Carter administration.
Yeah.
This is something Mr. Carter deserves credit for. He got Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat to come to Camp David to work out an agreement, and in return for that agreement, Israel returned the Sinai Peninsula, which had been won by force of arms in the 67 war, returned that to Egyptian sovereignty, and the Egyptians occupy that territory today. And indeed, since then, Egypt has not made war on Israel again. Egypt made war on Israel in 1948, in 1956, in 1967, in 1973, but no more. This is a success story. Now, if the Palestinians and the Syrians would do what the Egyptians did, this whole problem would go away. But they obdurately refuse to do that. That's the problem. The Israelis are willing to return land, The problem is they want guarantees of peace and security in return. And as long as those guarantees of peace and security are not there, the land will not be returned, hey, nor
Charlie,
should it.
Charlie, tell us about the Gaza. Gaza, too.
Oh, this happened just very recently. A decision was undertaken by the Israeli government. At that time, I believe Ariel Sharon was prime minister of Israel. Sharon decided, now this was when George Bush was president, Bush the second, who was extremely pro-Israel. This is one of the things I have to give him credit for. He understood the Middle East better than most presidents did. His orientation in that enabled the Israelis to say, okay, we are going to unilaterally withdraw from Gaza.
Right.
There were some Israeli settlements in Gaza, not very many, but I think something along the lines of 1,000 or 2,000 Israelis who lived in Gaza, and they were very upset. That, oh, no, we have these houses here. And they said, the Israeli government said to them, I'm sorry, that's tough. We will resettle you. We'll give you another place to live, but you are not going to live in Gaza anymore. And they literally uprooted those Israeli settlements and moved every Israeli out of the Gaza Strip and unilaterally said to the people there, here it is, it's yours. Mm. We are gone. And at that point, the people of Gaza had the opportunity to turn Gaza into another Hong Kong if they had decided to. But instead, they simply turned it over to Hamas, which started showering rockets into the local Israeli communities. So this has been the way Israel has been rewarded for a return of territory to the Palestinians. It's a totally one-sided thing.
And they're still sending those bombs.
Yeah, Ma, speak up a little bit.
Sending those bombs, only our American media doesn't allow it to be known.
Well, I think the news reports of the bombs are, I don't think they're suppressed.
Yes, they are.
The bombs have actually, the rockets have decreased, but it's due to the fact that the Israelis have said, look, you know, we control the, you know, your electric power, water. If you keep this up, we're going to cut off your power and your water, damn you. And it's a perfectly reasonable thing for them to do. Just keep your bombs to yourself. You can have the power and the water. And okay. under that threat, Hamas has finally decided, well, yeah, we'd like to be able to drink water and we'd like to have electric lights, so we'll knock it off. But it's a matter of you absolutely have to threaten them with something dire in order to get them to quit showering high explosives on you. It's absolutely intolerable.
Well, Charlie, what you say makes an awful lot of sense. But I've heard you say in the last 5 minutes or so something that I didn't hear. I've never heard before.
Was ist das?
Well, you said that the Israeli government itself uses the term occupied territories.
I didn't know that.
Are
you sure?
I'm positive. Otherwise, they would never have returned the Sinai to Egypt. By doing so, I mean, actions speak louder than words. By returning that territory to the Egyptians in return for a treaty of peace, they obviously conceded the fact that it was occupied territory. And the idea that territory can be occupied as a result of the end of a war, gee whiz, at the end of World War II, Germany was occupied by the Allies.
Well, as Mom says in her commentary, is the United States occupied? I mean, are we occupying the United States, where a lot of the land used to belong to Mexico?
The Aztlan movement would love to hear me say that. No. How far back can you go? I choose to go back to the foundation of the United Nations, because that's the foundation of the modern geopolitical world. From that point forward, you can speak about occupations, etc., or transfers of territory. Previous to that, now, Kay and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. I mentioned, well, yeah, there had been a Palestine. I even brought along my stamp album and showed her stamps from Palestine. But the thing is that particular piece of land, if you go back far enough, the Egyptians owned that territory for a while. The Hittites owned that territory for a while. The Assyrians came in and conquered it. I believe the Persians. Now, prior to World War I, just as recently as 1918, 1919, the territory was part of the Ottoman Empire, which was, of course, Turkey. And it was only after the League of Nations came into being in 1919 that the territory of the Middle East there was split into Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Palestine, all of which had been part of the Ottoman Empire. And these were mandated to various victorious powers, Syria and Lebanon to France, Jordan, Iraq, and Palestine to the British. And, of course, the British had promulgated the Balfour Declaration, which called for the creation of a Jewish state. And the British kept their word.
Okay. What do you say we stay with the here and now?
I agree.
And, well, then, this is wonderful history.
Yeah, great history.
I know that you're a history teacher, and you're very good at what you do, Charlie. But we have to talk about this little piece of land that the United States says that Israel has no right to put her buildings on when it's her own land.
Now, this is interesting because Prime Minister Netanyahu has already made a terrific concession here, something that the American media, in concession to what you had to say, Michael, most people aren't aware of this. There's the West Bank, which is a fairly large piece of territory, comparatively so, and there's also the city of Jerusalem. Now, obviously, a city is not going to be that large in terms of square miles.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the 1967 war, the West Bank was part of Jordan. So was half of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is east and west. East Jerusalem, which was part of Jordan, is the Old City. Now, the Old City is where the holy sites are. And there are holy sites there to Muslims, Jews, and Christians.
Jerusalem, and they're always welcome Jerusalem, to go there.
Jerusalem being a very ancient city, there are holy sites there to three great religions. Now, West Jerusalem, which is the new city, has always been part of Israel. Okay, during the time from 1948 until 1967, when the old city was under Jordanian administration, the city was closed to non-Muslims.
Right.
The Wailing Wall and other holy sites to Jews, if a Jew wanted to go there and pray or make a religious observance, they were forbidden, prohibited. That was the end of that. Now, the first thing that changed when the Israelis were victorious in 1967, they opened the city of Jerusalem to people of all faiths. And from 1967 on, Muslims are still welcome at the Dome of the Rock and the other places where they want to go to worship in Jerusalem. This is why, when the Israelis took that territory as a result of the war, they were perfectly willing to give the Sinai back. They told Jordan, we'll give you the West Bank back in return for peace. They, you know, obviously it didn't happen because the Jordanians weren't into that. But they've always made it clear Jerusalem will never be returned to Muslim rule because when the Muslims have it, they exclude us.
Right.
And in return, they say, we will not exclude the Muslims. As long as we run Jerusalem, everyone is welcome. And that has been the way it has been for the last 40 years.
Not only run Jerusalem, own Jerusalem. The Jews own all of Jerusalem. And so why is our president or the United States dictating and telling him that it's not their land and they can't build their apartments?
I wonder about that. I really do. My guess is, well, I remember back when Mr. Obama was running for office and there was a lot of concern about the absolutely overheated, inflammatory, hateful rhetoric that had been pouring forth from his pastor, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. We remember seeing some of that video
and
absolutely vitriolic anti-Israeli hatred, hate speech.
Right.
And Mr. Obama was a worshiper at that church for something like 20 years. And I can't help but think that if you are willing to sit through sermons for that length of time, maybe you have something in common with the pastor.
No doubt, frankly, I
am worried about the idea that it seems that for the first time since 1948, we have a president who really does not care for Israel and does not have Israel's best interests at heart.
Absolutely.
That is unprecedented. Every president we've had, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. Mr. Truman was president, a Democrat, when Israel first came into existence, was very pro-Israel. Every president we've had has stood by Israel,
really,
except this one.
What's really disturbing to me, Mom and Charlie, is that in my observation, it's unprecedented not only that we have a president who suddenly is not supportive of Israel, but that we have an awful lot of people in this country who are not supportive of Israel and are parroting, you know, this, you know, what they hear in the media about. I understand what you said.
And what they hear from their president.
I agree with my mom about the occupied thing. I'll take your word that Israel, that the Israeli government has used the term. I've never known you to make things up or lie, but boy, it just
Well, that's a ridiculous way of talking anyhow.
Well, we know that the Israelis returned the Sinai to Egypt.
We do know that.
Only hoping that they can have peace.
They would, and they have gotten
But that
peace.
Doesn't mean that it was occupied. That means it was owned, which it was. And they were willing to trade away something like people trade baseball players among teams.
It was occupied territory, which they returned to Israel, to Egypt in return for a lasting promise of diplomatic relations and peace. And it has worked. As a matter of fact, Syria would love to have the Golan Heights back. But the reason the Israelis refused to return it is because the Syrians used that high position to shell and rocket farms and settlements in northern Israel, and did so for 20 years
up until
1967, when the Israelis took that position. And what Kay has just said is absolutely true. If the Golan Heights were returned to Syria, they would just start killing Israelis again from that position, and so the Israelis refuse to do that. They aren't interested.
So how can anybody who's reasonable with a brain in this country or any part of the world be upset with Israel? Wouldn't they do the same thing?
I mean, the
definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, i.e. placating, negotiating with people who have proven time and time again that they're not honorable, that they don't honor their commitments, they don't honor their treaties and so forth.
Well, here is the bottom line. Here is the bottom line. Israel is interested in peace and security.
Right.
These are things that we all want. This is basic to any human being anywhere, regardless of faith, color, anything else. The Arabs are only interested in an end to the Jewish state. They want to see an Israeli state about 20 miles west of where it is right now.
And
if you understand the map, you understand that that means that it would be under a significant amount of salt water.
Right.
The Palestinians in particular, and the Syrians also, absolutely refuse to recognize the legitimacy of any Jewish state. So far as they're concerned, they're not interested in the 1967 map. They're interested in the 1947 map. They want to go back to a time when there was no Jewish state.
Right.
And they want the Jews, essentially, to go back to being a stateless people.
Why don't we just stay on the topic?
Wait, let me run the show, okay? I want to ask Charlie, if do you think that that's what Obama wants to?
The
map of 1947?
I don't pretend to know that man's mind.
No, what do you think?
Are you
starting to get nervous like I am?
I don't know, obviously.
No one knows what he thinks.
I'm getting very nervous.
There's two possibilities. Number one is what you've just suggested, that he actually is actively anti-Israel.
No doubt. I don't
know if that's the case or not. What I think is that he does not understand the truth of Muslim sentiment. He seems to think that it's, you know, he said, she said, and you've got two people here, each of whom have equally legitimate claims and equally good ends. That's not the case. The Israelis are perfectly willing to accept a Palestinian state. They have said so. Netanyahu has said so. Netanyahu also has ended the policy of building Israeli settlements on the West Bank. The settlements that Mr. Obama is so excited about are in part of Jerusalem, which under any settlement is going to be Israeli territory.
It's not going to be, Charlie. It is.
Well, I mean,
they want it if fair and square.
But if the Israelis
60 years ago.
I understand, but 40 years ago.
No. Right, 1967, 43 years ago.
But what we're talking about is if there is a two-state settlement, which Netanyahu's already signed on to this. He wants this. The trouble is the Palestinians won't accept this because they don't want a two-state settlement. They want a one-state settlement.
Their state only.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's not
You're listening
happen.
To the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. In the studio at KSCO Central are Kay Zwirling and Charlie Friedman. Nikki James is pilot in command, as always, on Saturday. She does a great job. Thank you, Nikki. I don't think I say that nearly enough. And I'm at KSCO North here, running things from remote control. We've got Larry in Newark, Thor in Monterey, and Marco in Santa Cruz waiting. They've called 479-1080. We will be opening up the phone lines fairly soon here. I believe Nikki is probably in the control room, and we will, I guess we'll take Larry's phone call first, but then we'll go to a commercial break after that, and I'll have to figure out how I can monitor that. Anyhow, 479-1080 in area 831 is the number for you to call to participate in this Saturday special discussing Israel, and in particular, my concern that for the first time ever, and the concern is shared by each participant in the studio here, my mother and Charlie Friedman, that for the first time since the creation of the State of Israel, clearly the United States is not a total 100% ally of Israel. And I'm beginning to think that our president and maybe his administration, but certainly our president, would prefer that Israel was not even part of the world. Larry in Newark, you're on the air on KSCO. Welcome. Haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Good morning, Charlie, Michael, and Kay.
Hi, Larry.
Let me try to add some talent to this discussion. You know, I'm one of these pathetic people that have compassion for both the Jews and the Palestinians.
So am I.
So I am wrong absolutely 100% of the time, and you guys are going to hate me for what I'm going to say right now. And everyone listening is going to hate me.
Well, I put you on, and so that shows what kind of a guy I am. I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm not going to hate you for saying it. I'm going to disagree with you, but I'm not going to stop you from saying it.
Okay. First of all, the term occupied territory is used in Israel, but it's also used in the whole world.
Is it?
Black letter. Let me clarify what's going. Because you're partially right, but you're also missing the point.
Well, tell us where else occupied territory is used.
Like Iraq is occupied territory under international law, and the United States.
That's silly.
Well, but
Iraq still owns Iraq.
Let me explain. Iraq is an occupied country under international law right now. The United States recognizes that fact, as well as the UN, and it's treated as such.
That's
black letter.
Larry, that's not true.
Talk. No, it is true.
No, it's not true. It was true a few years ago, but it is no longer true. And the United Nations,
you're correct.
The United Nations has recognized a new Iraqi government. Iraq is no longer occupied territory.
You're right.
If both people are going to talk over each other, the audience isn't going to get the benefit of the program.
But she wanted an example, and that was the only one I could think of.
Okay,
and it's an old example, I guess.
Right. Well, a couple years out of date, but it is
an example. Okay.
Okay,
so,
but anyway,
next.
Here's the thing. Under international law, and this is black letter international law, occupied territory means a country conquers part of another country or some territory legally. In other words, a just war, and they administer that territory until there's a final disposition of that territory. Now, it's pretty much understood that Israel would be within its rights to simply incorporate that territory into Israel itself. But there's one thing you guys have totally missed in this whole discussion, is under international law, when you occupy territory, you just don't get the land. You take responsibility for the people. Israel has not done that. But let's get to the thing about Obama. Okay, you keep saying he's anti-Israel. I hear him say things that are very supportive of Israel.
Like what?
However, he does want.
Like what?
He says over and over, I support Israel. I want Israel to be strong and secure, and so on. However, he is a supporter of the two-state solution. By the way, that is also the official policy of the State of Israel now, is also the two-state solution.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Now, So what Obama?
And by the way,
doing,
that's my official policy too. It is it your official policy, Mom and Charlie? Well, just to set, just to let everybody know.
But I have some
didn't mean to interrupt. But Ma, just quick, that. Quick. Is that you believe in a two-state? You know, right?
What do you mean?
You mean the existence?
The existence of Palestine as a country?
No. As a way to
end the conflict.
End the conflict.
Israel's been trying to
do that for 60 years.
Of course, I agree.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to hear.
But the Palestinians won't agree unless Israel is annihilated.
Fine. Okay.
Okay, but I want to tell you why Obama is taking the stand he is on the settlement. Because what Obama, and again, this is the official policy of both Israel and the United States. Obama is wants peace in the Middle East. I guess maybe he wants a legacy. Maybe it's selfish, like Clinton got in Israel, being a peacemaker.
Yeah, he tried.
So he's trying to push towards this two-state solution. The state of Palestine would be in the West Bank.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when there's settlements, that's places there can't be a state. So he's saying stop settling so there can be a state on the West Bank.
Well, wait a minute, James, you got to remember something, Larry. Netanyahu's already agreed to that. The Israelis are no longer constructing any settlements on the West Bank.
Yeah, the current thing
that is
the current
already
news
done.
Item. All the current discussion and dispute is regarding East Jerusalem, the old city.
And the old city has been incorporated into Israel.
And I think that Obama is dragging his feet and not paying enough attention. And while nobody's looking, Iran is going to get its bomb and it's going to use it on Israel.
That's a good point. You know, it's as simple as that.
So don't tell me that he's so interested in keeping Israel as a state.
Obama, as far as I can tell, Obama's entirely supportive of Israel. But I think he's wrongheaded about this two-state thing. It's never going to happen, and let me tell you why. There's maps on the internet where you can see what the West Bank is made of, who lives where, and
demographics.
One map I saw portrays the Palestinians as islands in the Israeli ocean. And the fact is there can never be a Palestinian state on the West Bank because there's so many Jews live there already.
Okay, Larry, I agree with you. So what's the bottom line here? I have a solution. Good. Let's hear it.
Everyone hates the solution, but I believe it is workable. It's the one-state solution for the Palestinians. Remember, you have to look at the background. The Palestinians, or Arabs, as you like to call them, are, and by the way, not all, as Charlie said, not all Arabs hate Israel and want to drive them into the sea. I can absolutely tell you that for a fact. Many Arabs are very sympathetic to the Jews. They understand the plight of Israel and so on. But the solution, if you look at it, you know, it's in the Bible.
Go ahead and say what's going to make us hate you. We got to move on. There's a bunch of other questions.
Say it in one sentence.
Let me tell you the solution.
Yeah, just say it.
You got to understand.
Just say it.
Okay, you got to understand the Israelis and the Arabs are cousins. They're both descended from Abraham in the Bible.
Okay.
That's why this conflict is so bitter and ugly because. As you know, the worst kind of feud is a family.
Larry,
feud.
What is your solution?
The solution is for Israel to incorporate all the Palestinian territories into Israel and simply treat the Palestinians as citizens. I'm not saying it'll be a smooth transition, but they already have a lot in common. They have related languages. Okay.
Larry, hang on a second. Let me. You finally got round to it. Here's the story. actually, if the Palestinians were willing to agree to that, it would be a great idea. It is a fact that in Israel...
That's what they want.
It is a fact... No, that is not
no,
what they want.
They want Israel dead.
It is
no,
not...
No, no, no.
Larry, hang on a second. In Israel today, there is a very large Muslim minority. The Muslims who live in Israel today are Israeli citizens. They vote in Israeli elections.
Some of them are in the Knesset.
Some of them sit in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. The current charge d'affaires for the nation of Israel up in San Francisco is a Muslim. Now, if the Palestinians were willing to be a part of a, what do you want to say, a bi-religious Israel, that would be wonderful. The Israelis have one problem with that in long term. Given the difference, the discrepancy in birth rates, sooner or later you'd wind up with the Muslims seriously outnumbering the Israelis, at which point, given their proclivities, they would turn on the Israelis, and that would be the end of that.
Right. No, they're all brothers. They'd all be living together in peace, so
they would
live together in peace in your fevered dreams.
Okay.
By the way, you call Muslims, many Palestinians are Christians.
Okay. Larry, appreciate the call.
Well, you just dismissed that. Many Palestinians are Christians.
Yeah, about 10 or 12. They are overwhelmingly Muslim.
Millions of Palestinians are Christians. You just dismissed that like it doesn't matter.
No, I don't dismiss it because it doesn't matter. I dismiss it because it isn't true. Christians are a tiny, tiny minority of Palestinians.
Move on, Michael.
Historically, like 50% of the Palestinians were Christians.
That's nonsense.
Mom says
what do you
I should
mean it's nonsense?
I know it's nonsense. Oh my God, you're mouthing something that
is... There goes Larry. Now, wait a second.
Yeah, that's patently untrue. The Palestinians are overwhelmingly Muslim. Now, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. It's simply a fact.
Yeah. All right. It's KSCO AM 1080, the Saturday special. Nikki, we've got some commercials. Let's play them, and we'll be back right after this commercial break with Thor in Monterey and Marco in Santa Cruz and anybody else who wants to call 479-1080 and participate in this Saturday Israel special. Stay with us.
For completing your landscape projects on time and on budget, call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. Whether it's a commercial or residential installation, Swenson's Landscaping has been serving the Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay area since 1978. Swenson's Landscaping, your professionals in soil preparation and grading, irrigation and drainage, planting and erosion control, retaining walls and fences, hardscapes including interlocking pavers or flagstone for your walkways, patios, and driveways. Call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. That's 688-6350. Or swensonslandscaping.com. That's swensonslandscaping.com. Put your landscape plans into action. Swenson's Landscaping.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
It's a great time for a fresh start. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor and director of the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz. It is a great time for a fresh start, and to help you get started, I'm inviting you to lose 7 to 11 pounds of unwanted fat in the next 9 days. That's the average. Here's the magic. Our body stores toxins and fat cells to protect our vital organs from their harmful effects, and will resist burning those fat cells to keep the toxins from being released into the bloodstream. Cleansing can remove the toxins, allowing us to safely burn off the fat and lose the weight. It is a great time for a fresh start, so start today by detoxifying and losing those pounds.
Lose 7 to 11 pounds of real fat in the next 9 days. Call the McCollum Wellness Center right now and register for the next free detox and weight loss workshop. The first 10 callers will receive a free body composition analysis, adrenal stress test, and evaluation. $100 value. That's the McCollum Wellness Center, 459-9990 or McCollumWellnessCenter.com.
Okay, everyone, listen up. J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is a place you should check out. Besides being a longtime sponsor of KSCO's Happy Hour program with Charlie and Dave, J&S is a wondrous place, pure and simple. Like KSCO itself, J&S is a place you've probably driven past many times, never realizing what an amazing place it is. I'm not going to tell you much. I want you to check the place out for yourself. Suffice to say, there's lots of unique things of interest to lots of people at J&S Surplus. Make a note to yourself to stop by next time you go north or south on Highway 1. Better yet, just go there now if you can. Seriously, it is worth a special trip to see J&S Surplus. Open every day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. All kinds of great stuff there. Pick up your Pollen Burst energy drink and Beyond Tangy Tangerine Longevity Health products while you're there, and tell them MZ sent you. Located on the ocean side of Highway 1, just 2 minutes north of the Moss Landing Power Plant, look for the flags outside or call 724-0588 and visit the website surplusinc.com. That's surplusinc.com.
Hi, this is Judy DeVilbiss. I think there's something I should tell you about. Bon Soleil. That comes from the Longevity Company. It has a 30 SPF, and it's really a great sunscreen. I slather it all over myself, my face, my arms, my legs. You know what? You just can't have that harmful rays on your body. You'll end up in trouble. I mean, it could happen to anyone. Take care of yourself. So Bon Soleil sunscreen. 30 SPF. It's for you. And you know what the best part is? The Longevity Company actually has an after sun gel. Oh, you can't imagine. You come home from that hot beach or hot job, whatever. You're all sunscreened and very safe because you did use your sunscreen. So you get in the shower, you wash everything off, and then when you get out of the shower, you just slip on this wonderful sun gel. It feels fantastic. Come on, give it a try. It's Longevity. It's Dr. Joel Wallach's product, and it's good. Call 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Thank you.
What'd you say?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi!
Can everybody hear everybody else? I'm not sure.
Oh, I think so.
Kay, I'm used to hearing nice bumper music.
Kay's got her headphones on.
All right. Are you hearing bumper music?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't.
So it doesn't swing, but it's there.
All right. Okay, I hung up too soon. Yeah, this is technical speak to the audience, so we'll dispense with that. Welcome back to the KSCO Israel History special. And we're talking specifically about how I believe, and maybe I'm a little overly sensitive, that people in the United States are becoming increasingly disturbed and annoyed with Israel for totally inappropriate reason.
See, I've seen some numbers on this. Polling over the years has shown that Americans are overwhelmingly supportive of Israel and always have been, like in the 70%, 70 to 80% range.
Yeah.
Current polling shows that support for Israel is now down to around 60%. And I am absolutely convinced that a tremendous amount of that can be laid at the doorstep of our current president, who is not as pro-Israel as other presidents have been.
Our media, the president can do no wrong.
Well, our last
the president could assassinate somebody
let's not go to wild extremes. The thing is that Mr. Obama. As Larry said, our last caller, he said, well, Mr. Obama has made statements, oh, I support Israel. Well, yes, he has. On the other hand, people look at actions,
exactly.
Not words. And
exactly.
when they look at the fact that Mr. Obama visits the Middle East and will not go to Israel,
yeah.
When they look at the fact that when Prime Minister Netanyahu comes to Washington and visits the president, he is treated atrociously. And when they look at the fact that this president attempts to engage with people like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad,
yes,
this has an effect. There are some people who say, well, geez, he's the president, and many of them voted for him, and they figure, well, you know, we'll follow his lead. I hope that what we can accomplish on this program today is to get people to rethink that and to be more critical of Mr. Obama's actions in this field, because I frankly think that he is very wrong-headed.
I totally agree with that.
Okay, apparently we received a call that someone is sick of the history lesson and wants to get to some of the current issues.
Good.
Thor in Monterey, you're on the air on KSCO. Hey, Thor.
Sounds like Dave Michaels.
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything either.
I don't understand why we could hear Larry before and we can't hear Thor. I hear Thor perfectly.
No, we hear nothing.
I can hear you perfectly, but the people in the audio, Kay and Charlie
Thor,
cannot hear you.
Thor, say something now. I can hear you now,
yeah.
Thor. Yes, okay. Would you please restate whatever it was you just said?
Yeah, okay. So Israel, we recognize Israel as a democracy,
mm-hmm.
and they, I believe they also have self-determination. Would you say that's fair to say?
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, as far as they're an independent country, and they should be able to, make their own decisions on what they do and so forth.
To set their own policies? Well, okay, yes, I understand now. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess my question, the preface to my main question mm-hmm. is, when Israel sees threats to them, such as the Iranian nuclear program and mm-hmm. some of the, I guess they had, Iran had reactors in the past that Israel took out and so forth, why can't they do that? Why do they have to get United States permission?
They don't.
You know, the more recent situation with these, apartment buildings they want to build, why can't they just go and build them? Why do they need our permission to do that? I don't understand. That's what I'd like to get some information on.
Okay, did you hear what Kay just said? She said two words. She said they don't. In other words, she's agreeing with you. She's saying, no, they don't have to get our permission. They are an independent mm-hmm. nation.
Someone should turn Kay's mic up so she can be better heard.
No, I heard her just fine, and she's absolutely right. The point is that Israel has always regarded, just as we've always regarded Israel as an ally, Israel regards us as an ally, and Israel mm-hmm. works in concert with us. They don't, they can set their own policies, but over the years, they have been in concert with the United States. There has been a special relationship there, much as we carry on a special relationship with the British, which Obama has also kind of tread on, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, Israeli settlement policy is up to the Israelis to decide. That is their business, but they consult with us. They work with us.
As a courtesy.
And we do have influence over them. But, one of the things you mentioned coming up the top of the hour was the question of the Iranian bomb. It is a fact that the Israelis have never made a big deal out of it. But the Israelis have had the atomic bomb for decades now. And you know what?
Yeah.
Nobody anywhere regards an Israeli bomb as a threat to world peace or security. The Israelis aren't interested in dropping atomic weapons on any of their neighbors. They simply aren't going to do that. They have atomic weapons for the same reason we do, for defense, for deterrence. That is the only reason the Israelis ever bothered to develop an atomic weapon. An atomic weapon in their hands does not pose a threat to any law-abiding state, ever.
Yes, I would agree with that. So, okay, so anyway, so you're saying, Israel kind of likes to, I guess consult with the United States on things. And,
sure.
If the United States has a administration that's not really on friendly terms with Israel, like we may be encountering now, why doesn't Israel just go ahead and do what they want to and say, okay, well, we checked with you guys, you're not in agreement with us, but we're going to do it anyways.
Well, insofar as the settlements in Rabat Shlomo and East Jerusalem is concerned, that mm-hmm. is exactly what's going on now.
Yeah, well, I totally support that.
Thor, thank you for your call. Marco in Santa Cruz is next. However, we're about 30 seconds away from the 11 o'clock news. So, Marco, we apologize. Please stay on. We'll take you first thing next hour. And a little tease here, we've already done the Kay's commentary in the first hour, so we won't be doing that in the second hour. But what we will do at the beginning of hour number two, I'm going to read a letter, greetings on Pesach letter that came to me via a friend. And this is written by someone in Israel, and it's very, very interesting. So please stay with us. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, Santa Cruz. It's 11 o'clock.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. The nation's governor is still getting letters from the self-styled anti-government group Guardians of the Free Republics.
In state capitals across the country, police are investigating letters demanding their governors leave office within 3 days or be removed. At least two states beefed up security, even though they say they're not overly worried. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal got the letter, but a police spokesman in Baton Rouge said it's, quote, not a credible threat to the governor or the people of Louisiana.
Fox's Steve Santani. The group says it wants to see the end of taxes, foreclosures, and driver's licenses, among other things. In Nevada, screening machines for visitors and packages have been set up in the state capitol. An aide to Governor Jim Gibbons saying that while they're not overly concerned, quote, at the same time, we don't want to sit back and do nothing and regret it. The countdown clock now ticking for Monday morning scheduled launch of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
Right now we're going with just a 20% chance of KSC weather prohibiting launch due to that concern for fog limiting visibility.
Kathy Winters is NASA's shuttle weather officer. Discovery slated to head skyward at 6:21 a.m. with seven astronauts and a load of science experiments and spare parts for the International Space Station on board. There will be just three more shuttle missions after this one before the shuttle program is mothballed. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad shrugging off the threat of new international sanctions over its nuclear program, saying today that new penalties would only strengthen Iran's technological progress by encouraging self-sufficiency. He's also rejecting President Obama's offer of U.S.-Iranian engagement, saying that, quote, three or four beautiful words don't mean U.S. policies have changed under the Obama administration. Students at St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati gathering on the football field last night to pay tribute to 17-year-old Matt James, the star football player already recruited by Notre Dame, falling to his death from a hotel balcony in Panama City Beach, Florida, while on spring break. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
That's oil refinery fire in Washington State yesterday has taken a fifth life, even as federal officials say this event is highlighting a bigger problem.
A new insurance company report finds U.S. refineries in general have a bad safety record, and deadly accidents are an ongoing problem. The study shows refineries here lose four times as much money from the incidents than others in the rest of the world. As the cause of Friday's fatal fire at the Tesoro refinery is investigated, two people remain in critical condition with severe burns. The blaze started during maintenance work on a unit that processes highly flammable liquid. Tesoro was slapped with a big fine a year ago for serious safety and health violations. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
In northern Afghanistan, German troops have reportedly killed a half dozen Afghan soldiers. The friendly fire incident taking place in Kunduz province, where other German soldiers got into a firefight with Taliban militants yesterday. Three Germans killed. Other German troops heading to the scene of that gun battle, firing on two civilian vehicles that the Germans say refused to stop. Those vehicles found to be carrying the Afghan soldiers. Venezuela's planning to go nuclear. No bombs, though, just power with the assistance of Russia.
Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has announced a nuclear power station plan as Russian Prime Minister and ex-KGB agent Vladimir Putin visits Caracas. Chavez says the draft of the Russian-aided installation is underway, noting it's obviously for peaceful purposes, while also pledging Venezuela will continue its program of arms purchases from Moscow. Petroleum experts estimate that Venezuela's Orinoco River Belt holds more than 500 billion barrels of high-grade extractable crude oil. James with Fox News Radio.
The Russians are also reportedly offering to help Venezuela set up its own space industry. A 12-year-old girl who was hauled out of her New York City school in handcuffs 2 months ago for doodling on her desk is now suing the city's education and police departments for $1 million. Alexa Gonzalez and her mother claiming excessive use of force. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. We are having partly sunny skies today. High of 60, north-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, partly cloudy, low of 40, and west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, looks like we're going to get some rain. 70% chance we'll get rain. Showers in the morning, then steady rain by the afternoon. High of about 58 degrees with south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Out on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 to 4 feet in the afternoon. There's going to be a west swell of about 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. Tonight, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming east after midnight. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2 feet, and a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I don't have anything to report at the moment. If you run across something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I'll let everyone else know as well. Current temperatures, it's 50 degrees in Salinas. It's 49 in Watsonville, 50 in Monterey. Here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios, we're at 51 degrees. The official time is 11:06 and 49 seconds on this Saturday, April 3rd, 2010. Up next is the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James. Michael?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I am here.
So I thought I lost you for a minute.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, there's an important program apparently airing on Fox News this Sunday night. I received an email, and I'll tell you about it a little later here.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And welcome to hour number two of the Saturday Israel History and Current Situation special. MZ with Kay and Charlie in the studio. And you, the callers, 479-1080 and area 831 is the number to call if you want to participate in this program. We're going to be on the air right up until noontime today. And I've been noticing, I've been listening to Corey Gold's program here during the week, 12 noon to 2 p.m. right after Rush on KSCO. And increasingly, he's been getting a lot of new callers. I mean, and that to me, that's just great. I measure the popularity of the radio station and of the programming by how many callers are calling, and particularly how many new callers are calling. There are KSCO, you know, wonderful supporters for years and years who just think we can do no wrong. We love them. We appreciate them. And sometimes they get a little upset when we don't take their calls, you know, immediately. But our policy here is to give a priority or preference to first-time callers. And Corey's been getting an awful lot of them lately on his program, including especially quite a number of young people, college-age people. And I think that's really, really good. He's also, this is a little disturbing to me, been getting an awful lot of hate calls. I mean, true hate calls, you know, regarding Israel and Jews and so forth. And but KSCO's policy is also to talk to anybody who calls, unless of course you say slanderous things or horrible, you know, things that can get us in trouble with the FCC and so forth. This is truly a voice for everyone, this radio station. Now, let me move into something that was emailed to me by my friend here next door to me here at my home here at KSCO North. my friend is named Larry. He sent me an email. It says, this is from a friend of mine since we were freshmen at Cal in 1959. Today, Fred, I'll just say, is an Orthodox Jew with six children and over 20 grandchildren so far. He lives in a settlement near Jerusalem. You can see his position from what is written here. Greetings from Israel. And this is regarding Pesach or Passover, which is our version of Easter, I guess you can say. And this is written from the person who lives in Israel. A happy Pesach to all of you and your families. This year, Naomi and her family will be with us for the Seder, and others will be at a good game of where the here. We recently, I'm not going to bore you with the whole thing here. But it says, we are now in the middle of what is being billed as the most serious diplomatic crisis in Israel's history. President Obama is putting on the pressure to create peace in the Middle East. On the face of it, Obama's position makes sense. He will never be able to change the Arab position to destroy Israel, so the easiest thing is to get Israel to agree to have herself destroyed. And then you... and then you have agreement and peace, where peace is defined as the absence of threat of war in the Middle East, something which will presumably occur when there is no Israel. A byproduct of this could also be the defusing of Iran's nuclear threat, which will be unnecessary when there is no Israel to threaten them. To destroy Israel, you don't need to destroy Israelis. You just need to destroy what unites them, what gives them their energy, their common belief and identity as Jews. More than anything else, Jerusalem symbolizes that for most Israelis. That is the point of Obama's attack. First, surrender the right to build in Jerusalem. Second, establish an Arab capital in a divided Jerusalem. And finally, to take over the entire city, demoralizing the entire nation. God forbid. This is a clever attack that cannot be resisted by military means. It will also be tricky to overcome it by diplomatic dealing. At the end of the day, it is our prayer, it is only our prayers and our good deeds that will convince God to leave Jerusalem in our hands. Only if Jerusalem is the center from which Torah and morality spread to the world, will we be entitled to keep it. Fortunately, today, Jerusalem is such a place. So much Torah learning and publishing is going on there. And so we can have hope that our prayers that next year in Jerusalem will be answered. So let's have that in mind this year at the Pesach Seder when we say Shana Haba Jerusalem, that next year we will still be in Jerusalem and the plans of our enemies will have been foiled by the Almighty, as it is, as it says in the Haggadah. In each generation, our enemies set out to destroy us, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. And that's the end of the letter. the person who wrote this letter, when I read this letter at 3 in the morning on Friday, I decided that I would try to get in touch with the person who wrote this letter and see if he could be a guest on this program. I was able to secure his email address. I sent an email explaining who I was and what we were doing and what I wanted, how I happened to have been forwarded his letter here that was sent to his friend. And he did call me. He called me on the telephone, and he said he would love to be on the program, but unfortunately it's on a Saturday, which is the Pesach, which is the Sabbath for Jews, for particularly Orthodox Jews, and as a result, he could not participate on this program. But he would be more than happy to participate at any other time when it would be permissible. So anyhow, wanted to go ahead and read that. That I have done. We will return now to our program. Mom and Charlie, do you have any comments about that? I mean, what an interesting perspective, I thought.
I think it's very moving.
Just very
and,
well.
And if Obama, if that's his agenda, it's very sad for Judaism and for Israel.
What do you think, Charlie?
I can't help but wonder, as I look at all this, I view things through an American political prism. Jewish voters in America have consistently been a very strong bloc for Democrats. Mr. Obama in 2008 received something like 75% to 80% of the votes cast by American Jews. It will be very interesting to me when Mr. Obama runs for a second term 3 years from now to see how many of those Jewish voters are willing to tolerate this conduct on his behalf. I keep coming back to what Larry said last week. He says, well, Mr. Obama makes statements of support to Israel, but Jewish voters are, for the most part, very perspicacious. They watch carefully, and they understand that actions speak louder. And Mr. Obama's actions should be alarming to anyone who values Israel.
All right, if you disagree, and I agree with that,
said,
and
yes.
Anybody who disagrees with us is certainly invited to participate in this program. Where are all these people that I hear calling Corey Gold's program? 479-1080 is the phone number to call in area 831. You can also send me an email, mz@ksco.com. I have my email open, or I couldn't have read that letter you just heard. Here go the phones. Okay, we're getting some more callers now. And as promised, at the end of last hour, we are going to go to Marco in Santa Cruz, who has now been waiting 45 minutes and 27 seconds. Marco, thanks for waiting. Welcome
to
KSEO.
You're welcome. I enjoy the show, and believe me, I've been keeping busy. So anyway, there's a few things I wanted to add that will help with the discussion as far as occupied territory, that terminology. There's a difference, certainly in Israel and in most countries, between occupied territory and annexed territory. Now, the Golan Heights is annexed. It is not occupied territory. I was there, in fact, in 1982 when Israel annexed it.
I had forgotten that. You're right. The Israelis lost patience with the Syrians entirely and said, no, we're keeping this.
Well, it wasn't just a matter of losing patience. The 1973 Yom Kippur War was launched from the Golan Heights.
Exactly.
And the first place attacked happened to be the kibbutz that I was on.
Wait a minute. No, that's not the case. The Golan Heights by 1973 was already under Israeli administration.
Well,
it was the 1967 war that was launched from the Golan Heights.
Well, no, that's not true.
Yes, it is. After the 67...
Charlie, it was the 1973 war that was the Yom Kippur war, right?
Yeah, and that was Anwar Sadat and the Israelis.
Okay.
The Golan Heights were part of the territory seized as the result of the Israeli victory in the Six-Day War in 1967.
Charlie, you're correct about that, but my point being that the Syrians launched from that area, let's call it directly adjacent to the Golan Heights. The Israelis see Golan as an important military area, and in fact it is because of the heights.
Absolutely.
And there were great losses on Mount Hermon.
It is a strategic point.
Now, Reagan, interestingly enough, Reagan did not support that annexation. And Menachem Begin said we were going to abrogate a treaty with Israel. And Menachem Begin said, we're not a banana republic, and we're going to annex the Golan Heights. So in any event, there's your distinction there between occupied territory and annexed territory.
Well, thank you.
When it comes to the United States, I'm guessing that something similar occurred, that, you know, when we took Texas and Arizona, California, more than likely we annexed them.
True.
Yes. Now,
I don't know that. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, there was a military victory, and also we did make a payment. I think it was
Louisiana. Yeah, okay. Purchase. So we bought it.
It was $500 million.
Yeah, okay. So we bought it.
Okay.
There you go.
But yeah, we did give them some dough.
Yeah.
But the point is, we took that territory away from the Mexicans fair and square.
Yeah.
And now the it's other the thing United is, States.
The other thing is that in 1967, by the way, this is a small point, but I think it's an important point. In 1967, actually, Israel started the war. The reason they had such an easy time of winning the war is because the Egyptians had their entire air force lined up and ready to attack Israel. All the Arab nations were ready to attack Israel.
Right.
And Israel saw this and launched a preemptive attack and wiped out essentially 90% of the Egyptian air force.
That's what's known as being intelligent.
Yeah,
if somebody is going to clean your clock, it is reasonable to clean theirs first.
Yeah, I say, it's a minor point, but, you know, those critics of Israel would say, well, Israel started the war because they attacked.
I never heard that before.
So I just want to make
Marco
sure that people understand.
Marco is absolutely right about this.
No, I know about this
but
stuff.
But he's got the whole story there.
Yeah.
The fact that Israel understood exactly what was going on and said, you know, if we just sit here and wait to get pasted, how smart are we?
Yeah,
sort of like right now with Iran and Israel, right?
Well, believe me, Israel will take care of business when they need to if we don't. But the other thing, just a couple more small points I wanted to make, is that Charlie mentioned that everyone was welcome, of course, in Jerusalem, which is true, and that everyone was welcome at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Mosque of Omar, the Dome of the Book, being the second most important place to Islam and the most important place to Jews. The fact is that the Muslims administer the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They're not just welcome there. They are, you can't say they're in control of it, because when Ariel Sharon feels like going there, he's going to take the army and go there. But they do administer it and are in daily control of who enters, who exits, controlling the whole mosque. And you may or may not know this, but Jews actually are not supposed to, certainly religious Jews, are not supposed to go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque because it is the holiest spot there is. That's where the rock is, where Abraham was going to make his sacrifice of his son. So because we're not cleansed, because we're not worthy, because we're not Mashiach, Messiah, we were really not allowed, quote-unquote, to go there. Now, a Jew can go there. I went there. You can go there, and the Arab administrators will certainly let you in, and it's a magnificent place. So anyway, those are just a few points, a little minor changes or additions. I'm sorry for the history lesson.
Well they're
thanks,
not
Marco.
They're really not minor, Marcos. Why didn't Israel annex the rest of Jerusalem when they won it?
I thought the Israelis had annexed East Jerusalem.
I don't know whether they have or they haven't, but I would assume they have.
Well, they've made it clear that they don't intend to vacate East Jerusalem.
No, all of Jerusalem will stay in the hands of the Israeli state as long as there is an Israeli state.
Exactly.
You can bet on that.
Yes, that's understood.
Yeah, one other just very, I guess it's not so minor, and you probably have brought this up in the past, but, you know, Zionism existed before the State of Israel. And much of the land that is today's State of Israel and Jerusalem was purchased by Jews.
Absolutely. I was a little girl in Brooklyn, New York, and there were older people in my neighborhood who would trek to Jerusalem once a year because they loved it there, and they finally decided to buy little parcels from Arabs who were willing to sell to them because they didn't do anything with their arid land.
Well, there were also European Jews who were buying the land with a mind of the creation of the State of Israel.
Yeah, right. This was the Zionist movement, Theodore Herzl. And his followers, and they were active, I believe, as long ago as the late 19th century.
Sure. Kay, I'm sorry, I can't help myself, but as a Brooklyn boy, where in Brooklyn did you grow up?
Flatbush.
Me too. Flatbush, Kings Highway and Ocean Avenue.
Avenue J and 40th, East 40th Street.
Yeah, well, I could have walked your house in about 25 minutes.
Well, I walked through your place every time we went to the movies at the Marine Theater.
Where'd you go to high school?
Erasmus.
You went to Erasmus?
Yes.
Great. Well, I guess I would have gone to James Madison, but we moved to the Bronx. Well, it's a great discussion. Keep up the good work. And, Charlie, you're a good advocate. Keep it up.
Despite what everybody says, right?
Yeah,
no, I'm only kidding.
I appreciate that very much.
All right, Marco, thank you for calling. Here's Aussie Phil. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting, Phil.
Oh, hi, you guys. Really enjoyed it. I'd just like to straighten a few things. Firstly, Michael Oren wrote a fantastic book on the Six-Day War. He's now the current Israeli president to ambassador to America. He's written another book. And I had the pleasure of going to a night to honor Israel in San Francisco where 800 people came. And he spoke off the top of his head for 45 minutes without any notes on the names of the people who believed in the biblical restoration of the land of Israel for the last 150 years in America before Israel was founded in 1947-48 through the United Nations. And he's got a photographic memory. He's probably the best resource of anybody for the history of Israel.
His name is Michael what?
Michael Oren, the ambassador from Israel to America.
All right. Good. Hey, thanks for bringing that up.
Books. Now, it's interesting you've got this a conversation on the pagan festival of Ishtar today, Easter Saturday, and it all goes back to Constantine. His mother, Helena, picked this rancid little mountain in the desert of the Negev and called it Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. And the Mossad and Israeli people completely oblivious this, but the Mossad and know exactly where the real mountain Sinai is, which was Horeb in Midian, and it was in northern Arabia. It was never in this part of the desert. There was no man's land, never belonged to Egypt before they did their hostilities. They were never interested in any of that land. Remember in 1956 there was a war in Gaza, and Egypt was routed by the Israelis, right? So all this disputed land is a lie. It's all a lie. The land belongs to God. God chose Israel. He chose this land is his inheritance. He chose his capital, Jerusalem. And all this stuff about Palestinians, the name Syria, Palestinia, was given by the Romans to the Jews. It had nothing to do with Syria or Palestine. It was an absolute abomination to destroy any trace of Judaism in the world.
There's
a lot of misconceptions. Paul, Rabbi Paul from Tarsus, who quotes the real Mount Sinai in Arabia in Galatians chapter 3. So there's plenty of confirmations that this was just a lot of nonsense. And when Israel was forced under Jimmy Carter to give back in the so-called peace treaty with Egypt, it's all been one-sided. It's all been Israel give, and Egypt has given nothing in return.
I disagree with that. Israel did get something very important from Egypt. Israel got what she wanted from Egypt.
Kept their peace. It's a one-sided peace agreement.
That's not true. That is not true. Since the return of the Sinai to Egypt, there had been four wars between Egypt and Israel prior to that. 1948, 1956, 1967, 1973. Four wars.
Since the cession of the Sinai back to Egypt,
there has been no attack by Egypt on Israel. They have diplomatic relations. Sometimes they sneer at each other, but there is peace, real, lasting peace. That is what the Israelis wanted, and that's what they got.
From Egypt. And look what Anwar Sadat got as a result of making that deal.
Yeah, he was assassinated by a radical Arab who was upset with him because he made peace.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, Phil.
It's a very, very shaky peace, and it's a very one-sided peace.
I disagree.
Begin was assassinated because of it.
Not by a Jew.
Well, I don't know about that. We're not sure. We're not sure who Rabin was assassinated by. They gave away land that's not theirs.
Sir, we know who assassinated Anwar Sadat.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Arafat was an Egyptian. That was a nice peace treaty, wasn't it? Allowing him back into Israel.
That was another mistake. That was a serious mistake.
Very, very costly mistake. It's cost thousands of lives.
You know, I'm indebted to a fellow, Jim, down in Carmel Valley, who sent me three pages of this screed. It's an anti-AIPAC thing. One of the things that he points out, he says, the Zionists used terrorism to drive the British out of Palestine. They bombed the King David Hotel in 1946. Well, the thing is,
there can be
changes here. Menachem Begin was a member of Irgun 30 years earlier. But Menachem Begin changed. He became a man of peace, and he made peace. Now, Yasser Arafat never became a man of peace. He said he did. That was what the Oslo Accords were all about. This was the rebirth of Yasser Arafat. Suddenly, he's a man of peace. They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. Yasser Arafat was a blood-stained terrorist to the day he died.
That's exactly right. All right.
Not only that, but he was corrupt.
I want to thank Aussie Phil for his call to the Saturday special. Our next caller will be none other than Walt in Salinas, California. Hey, Walt. Welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Enjoying this history lesson today. And I hope that you will have this recorded on a CD or something.
Yeah, it'll be up on KSCO.com a little later on today. And by the way, if you want to listen to the program again from start to finish, tune in tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to add something to the problem I see with Obama being hostile, shall I say, to Israel. It has bled over to Hillary Clinton and the State Department. She apparently thinks that when a country invades another country and in the process loses some land, that that the country that was invaded should give back that land. She goes to Argentina and tells those people down there that our ally, the Britons, should negotiate giving back the Falklands.
Did you notice that too, Walt? Wasn't that appalling?
Yeah.
That has been a closed book for 30 years, and for reasons I will never understand, Secretary of State Clinton goes down there and reopens it. Unbelievable.
Right. And I just wonder how much of the other State Department or other entities of the our administration are leaning that way. I'm 72 years old, and I'm an evangelical Christian, and I believe that the previous caller that talked about God giving this land to Israel is right. From my study of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, I believe that God is fulfilling his the prophecies of the prophets of old, and that this is what's happening. But I see a danger in the fact that our current president and his State Department are now turning their back on our one true ally in the Middle East, and it just disturbs me. I just wanted to add that bit about the State Department in here.
Well, I agree with you.
Thank you so much for calling the Saturday special.
Walt's absolutely right there. And I would remind everybody, the State Department is part of the executive branch of government. And Hillary Clinton, the fact that she took the job, she is taking orders from President Obama.
Right.
President Truman used to have a little sign on his desk, the buck stops here. If you want to know who's setting U.S. foreign policy, look to the White House.
All right, so Walt, thanks again for your call to the Saturday special. There goes Walt and Salinas. Our next caller will be Rich in Pacific Grove, but not until after I read this brief email that just came in from our good KSCO friend, Alan Rofer. The subject is Israel and Obama. I heard one optimistic explanation for Barack Obama's dissing of Israel. He is distancing the U.S. from Israel in order to permit Israel to bomb Iran's nukes without connecting the U.S. to the action. If the U.S. is disconnected from the bombing, there would be much less negative world reaction. I don't know if Barack Obama is smart enough to pursue this approach, but it deserves some thought. And that's from Alan Rofer in Scotts Valley. Thank you, Alan. And as promised, our next caller, Rich in Pacific Grove, is now on the air on KSCO. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, thanks. Great show, Charlie. Great show once again. I really appreciate the history. And unfortunately, I've been on hold for about 20 minutes, so a lot of guys knocked off my my point. But one of them was about, you know, Hillary Clinton, and, you know, she was really elected because of the Jewish vote in New York.
So that's true. Back in 2000, when she ran for senate in New York. Yeah, she received overwhelming support from the Jewish community there.
And it was real. It was commonly known that she paid off a lot of organizations to get that stuff. And for her now to turn her back, I don't care if she is the Secretary of the State. She should probably say, you know, maybe this would be a good time for her to resign, because this is probably the end of her career, to be honest with you. When everything's done with Obama.
You don't think she has the same 27 lives that her husband does, huh?
I don't think so. I just don't think so. You know, the other thing that's really interesting about this whole situation is that the Obama administration seems to be, you know, surrounded by a lot of people of the Jewish faith. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but...
No, you're not.
You're right. Some of them are self-hating Jews.
Yeah, self-hating Jews.
Thank you, Kay.
Should I tell the audience what Dad used to say?
No, I don't remember what you want to say.
I'm going to say it. There's nothing dumber than a dumb Jew.
Very good. Very good. I'm Irish Catholic, I didn't feel I should say that.
Yeah, well, have you heard that before?
Yes, sir. I've never been.
Yeah, there's nothing dumber than a dumb Jew, and the people who elect Hillary Clinton and all those, and Barack Obama and all those. But maybe they'll get smart someday. But I don't think so, because there's nothing dumber.
Anyway. I just thought they're self-hating. I don't understand it.
All righty.
So much to hurt themselves.
Rich,
anyway,
thanks very much, buddy. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Charles in Boulder Creek, you're next on the KLCO Saturday special.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to say hi to Kate Gave, my good friend.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain too much. Some of these people have touched on what I'd like to say. If you speak about Israel, God gave the Jews this land forever, years ago, long, long before any of us can contemplate. And he said to them that he says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. And he says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those that curse you. And I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of cursing going on here with what our administration is doing to the Jewish people. And I'd like to say that, Kay, I really appreciate your comments. You're wonderful, and you make that station great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate what you're saying.
And I appreciate the kind words, too. Thank you, Charles.
And I'm really worried about Israel.
I am, too. It's not a good time for us.
No.
Pardon me. Not a good time for us.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Charles.
God's in control of all of it.
Yeah, that's true. So take heart.
Right?
Okay, thanks. Artis in Soquel, thanks for calling the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I was very zealous for Yasser Arafat. And, I mean, I only had one disappointment with him, and that was when he was quartered, when they were right before he died. It seemed like he kind of turned into a politician, and he made it clear that he was stealing people's votes. But anyway, I still like him. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you, Charlie and Kay, was when Anwar Sadat was alive and they had that with the massive loss with the Air Force, it was clear to me that they had to go in and fight on the ground. Why didn't that happen? That's my question.
I don't know who you mean by they. Who do you mean? Are you talking about the 1973 Yom Kippur War?
I think that's the 67 one where he lost all the air. They bombed all the planes.
Okay. In 1967, Anwar Sadat was not yet running Egypt. At that time, Nasser was still running Egypt. He had not yet died. Now, the Israelis launched a preemptive attack against the air forces of Syria, Jordan, and Egypt because they understood that if they did not, they risked annihilation.
Okay, but my question is, why didn't they go in? Why didn't the Egyptians go in and fight on the ground?
Oh, they attempted to, but they were prevented by Moshe Dayan and the Israeli army, who outfought them.
Okay, my next question is, where was Nasser? Was he out of the country when that happened, when the planes were bombed?
Nasser? No, he was in Cairo, the capital of Egypt.
Okay. I also like Sadat, too.
Sadat was an incredible statesman, a tremendous loss. But you know, I would urge you, to, you know, if you're still favorably enamored toward Yasser Arafat, I would urge you to look at the fact that just one thing. After he died, it developed that he had squirreled away over $3 billion in various numbered Swiss accounts.
Yeah, I didn't know.
This man was one of the biggest crooks. I mean, he made Al Capone look like a piker.
So whatever happened to the money? Whatever happened to the money,
Charlie? So what was he doing?
He was robbing his own people. There were various governments around the world who had given money to the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the Fatah movement, of which Mr. Arafat was the chairman for over 30 years, the last 30 years of his life. Mr. Arafat stole that money, a significant percentage of it, and simply squirreled it away for his own personal use. He was a crook, a robber, in addition to the fact that he was a terrorist. I mean, look at the Intifada. Yasser Arafat was scum on 2 feet.
Wow.
Charlie, who has the money now?
I really liked him on the international stage.
Disgusting human being.
Oh,
he shows
gosh.
Up at the United Nations with a six gun strapped to his hip. I mean, this is a man of peace. Peace on him.
Yeah, well, he never let anybody know that he was that wealthy. I didn't know he was that wealthy until, you know, it was revealed that he was
Artist, I got a great question for you now. You've always liked him somewhat. Do you like him less now that you've learned that about him?
No, because now I realize he was working for blacks in America. That's what I realized he was doing.
Oh, my aching Aunt Matilda.
I
don't even know where that came from.
I don't either.
Yasser Arafat didn't give two figs for anybody except himself.
But we'd like to thank Artis for his call to the Saturday special. Next caller is Alex in Santa Cruz. Welcome to KSCO AM 1080. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot for the conversation. It's really interesting. I don't really know what you guys are talking about when you're saying that, like, Israel was attacked by the administration right now and Hillary Clinton. All I heard on that they were saying that it wasn't the most timely time to, you know, announce a settlement increase in Jerusalem when Joe Biden was there.
Let me respond to that because that's what essentially began this whole Donnybrook. The initial problem was an Israeli mistake. Their government, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, and an announcement concerning these settlements in East Jerusalem was made at a very inopportune time. It was embarrassing to the Israelis. It was embarrassing to Mr. Netanyahu, and he did the proper thing. He acknowledged the mistake. He came out. He said, "We apologize. This timing was terrible. This was not premeditated. We are sorry. Mea culpa." And Vice President Biden, to his credit, three weeks ago. Yeah, at the time. At the time.
But I mean, the only thing I've heard on the press release is him saying that, like, you know, there's nothing to apologize for.
No, that is not true. And Vice President Biden, to his credit, accepted that apology. Vice President Biden, he's been around a long time. He understands the truth about American-Israeli relations. I wish that Mr. Biden would counsel Mr. Obama on this. Because
what is the truth between the United States and Israel?
We are allies. Firm friends and allies. And any... Any disputes that occur between the United States and Israel are disputes between friends. Friends occasionally disagree. We all understand that. But it is a dispute between friends, and you handle your friends as friends. Mr. Obama has not done that. Over the past couple of weeks, he has not treated the Israelis as friends.
Yeah, Alex dropped off. Bad cell phone connection here.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, John in Santa Cruz, you're next on the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Go.
Hi.
Hey there, John.
You know, when we were kids, I mean, I'm 38, and people older than me, we're all told when it comes this time to be attacking Israel, in the Bible, it clearly states, run for the mountains and arm yourself in protecting yourself, because if we attack Israel or separate Israel, it's going to cause hell on America.
Nobody's talking about us. We're not going to attack Israel.
It's the same thing. If we separate it, we're basically attacking it. We're putting them down and making them feel like they're nobodies. you know, by separating their own world. You know, how would people feel if America was suddenly separated to state to state, 50 states? You can't go to the next state without a passport. It's probably going to happen that way soon.
I don't see the United States government attacking Israel. What I see is a serious
abandoning Israel.
Thank you. A very good analogy. The thing is, we have had a relationship, a very strong, close relationship. Backing away from that is a problem to me. I'm very concerned.
That's my concern. You see, if we back away, we might as well be attacking because we allow other people to do such. And if that happens, then we can all kiss our keisters goodbye.
That's right. This is a good point. If the United States of America backs away from Israel, this enables Israel's other critics,
like Iran,
in Europe, exactly. In Europe, in the Middle East, in other places, to come forward and to be more hard line. The line that Mr. Obama is taking is not promotional to peace in the Middle East. Rather, instead, it is promotional to increased demands being placed on Israel, to increased tension and quite frankly, the possibility of armed conflict.
Yeah, and it gives Iran a go-ahead.
My main thing in America is, why don't families start caring about each other and quit separating each other? And when systems come in and separate the family like they are doing to Israel, separating from it, then the family needs to go, wait a minute, you can't do that, you know, because it's happening in America, and Israel's family to America, is if we're in alignment with them, then that means that they're family.
That's a good analogy.
You can't separate the family, because the second you separate family, chaos happens.
Yep.
Okay, John.
God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling. That opens up, we're wide open at 479-1080. It's okay. I'm just wondering where all the hateful people who call Corey, there's not a whole lot of them, but there's some of them. I thought we'd get some of that today, but we haven't. Anyhow, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, San Jose, and the world via KSCO.com. It's MZ and Charlie Friedman and Kay Zwirling talking about Israel on the final hour. There's about 14 minutes left of the Saturday special. So give us a call at 479-1080 if you want to get on the air. Perfect time to do that. I see three or four people calling already. That's good. And it's time to do the commercial break. So stay with us. We will be back after these commercials from the wonderful companies that enable your favorite radio station to keep broadcasting.
For completing your landscape projects on time and on budget, call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. Whether it's a commercial or residential installation, Swenson's Landscaping has been serving the Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay area since 1978. Swenson's Landscaping, your professionals in soil preparation and grading, irrigation and drainage, planting and erosion control, retaining walls and fences, hardscapes including interlocking pavers or flagstone for your walkways, patios, and driveways. Call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. That's 688-6350. Or swensonslandscaping.com. That's swensonslandscaping.com. Put your landscape plans into action. Swenson's Landscaping.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Interfacing an HPLC with a mass spectrometer.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar-powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High-voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Sophie Winnick here with an invitation for you. The theme, total indulgence. The place, Balance Studio in Felton. The time, Saturday, March 24th, between the hours of noon and 3 p.m. What's happening? Your chance to sample Youngevity's Cocogevity, the antioxidant powerhouse that tastes so good, you won't believe it's good for you. And yes, it's chocolate. This is all taking place during the grand opening of the new spa at Balance Studio in Felton. This is my favorite yoga and fitness studio that has evolved into a spa. Total indulgence that's good for you. Just like Cocogevity. So come by, try Cocogevity for yourself, and check out Balance Studio. It's located at 912 Lakeside Drive in beautiful Forest Lakes in Felton. Call me, 335-3216, for more information. See you there.
Hello, I'm Congressman Sam Farr. It's tax time, and individuals who make under $14,000 a year and families making under $49,000 a year can take advantage of free volunteer income tax assistance. These are trained volunteers. They help you claim all your tax credits, including the earned income tax credit. And refunds can take less than 2 weeks. For more information in Santa Cruz, call 460-2359. And in Monterey County, call 211.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
Because I'm not hearing any music.
A hamburger is expensive.
Oh. What did you talk about? Charlie, you're talking about hamburgers?
Yes, Kay is urging me to go to Israel and visit. She says it's a wonderful place. I believe her. I told her if she buys the ticket, I'll go. And she says it's not that expensive. I said, Kay, you don't understand. To me, a hamburger is expensive.
Oh, I got you. Okay, we got to fix that. It's time for me to do the thanks that I should do all the time here.
There you go.
I've already thanked Nikki for doing a great job. You can't thank her enough on the Saturday special. You can't thank Charlie Friedman enough for doing a great job on with Dave Michaels on the Happy Hour program, and with Alice and the whole gang.
Thank you.
You can't thank Kay, my mom, for being a great mom. You could never repay her for that. And you can. I don't think there's a radio station in the world that has a personality largely due to my mom and her willingness.
How about you, Michael?
The mutual admirations. We can dismiss all that, but the fact of the matter is that the personality of KSCO is more your personality than anybody else's, and that's the way it should be, because you're the person who got me interested in talk radio.
That's true. I used to wake him up in the morning.
Yeah, listening to KGO. So anyhow,
so you were listening to Fulton Lewis and H.V. Kaltenborn.
I was listening to Ira Blue and Jim Dunbar. By the way, I met Jim Dunbar a few months ago at the Broadcast Legends meeting up here in the Berkeley in the East Bay area. They have this Broadcast Legends, and unfortunately, every quarter there are more and more silent mics. You know, people who are no longer with us who have passed on during the previous 3 months, but. And I talked to Jim Dunbar, and I told him he was my hero when I was a kid growing up, and would he be willing to be interviewed on my station in Santa Cruz? He said, sure. So I got to do that. He gave me his email address, so that would be great. Anyhow.
You want a piece of advice, Michael? Don't wait on that.
You're right. Okay.
Don't wait on that.
Good advice. That's wonderful. Also want to thank everybody who says nice things and does nice things for KSCO. It is a struggle. It's a big financial struggle to have a radio station like KSCO. The reason that it's such a different station is because I don't even want to be in the broadcast business unless we can have a station with a heart and a soul and a personality and not have a station. I'm not interested in having a station like 99% of all the other stations, just a computer in a box. Okay, but and that costs money. Even though Charlie gets paid a pittance and everybody gets paid nowhere near what they're worth at KSCO, they do it because they like it. They do it because they're performing a service to the community. We're all on the same team, and for
it's
everybody
a labor
who says
of love, right?
For everybody who says that we'd like to, if I owned a business, I would advertise on KSCO. Damn right you would, because you would do great for your business. You know, don't think of it as a charity. Think of it as a wonderful opportunity to grow your business. But for those of you who don't happen to own businesses, you can support KSCO and our quest to continue to bring excellent local content, be your local radio station, by going to our website and making a contribution. It's not currently tax deductible. Maybe someday we will create some sort of a nonprofit status where your contribution can be tax deductible. But if you're going to send us $10 or $20 or $100, it's not the end of the world if it's not tax deductible. The other thing you can do is if there's some business that you would like to help, owned by a friend or a relative, you can buy gift certificates for KSCO advertising, and you get it. You get a break on it. In other words, we'll sell you $600 worth of advertising for $500 and so forth in these special certificates. So there's all kinds of ways you can help us continue to do a good job in serving our communities. Of course, you can also help us by making sure that you go the extra mile to support our advertisers and let them know the reason that you are there is because you heard their ad on KSCO. Okay, so, and there's yet another way you can help KSCO and help yourself at the same time. You hear a lot of ads for longevity products on KSCO. That's because KSCO gets a little tiny commission based upon every longevity product that's sold that you hear about on KSCO. There is a connection, there is a business connection, and the people like Judy DeVilbiss, like Sophie Winnick, And Phyllis and Andy Anderson, people who voice commercials for products. These are wonderful products, gang. They really are, and they really work, and they're way better than prescription drugs that give you that have side effects that are many times worse than the original malady or health challenge. So anytime you buy a longevity product from just about anybody in the Monterey Bay area or go to one of the websites that you hear about, you're actually helping KSCO survive and get stronger. So there are all kinds of ways that you can help us. Oh, my gosh, there's only 4 minutes left. And we've got Robbie and Loma Prieta Mountain. Let's take Robbie. Robbie, quickly, you're on the air. Sorry, I was...
Oh, okay. First of all, I want to say that I really love to hear Kay Whirling talk on the radio. She has a real...
Well, that makes a few thousand of us anyhow. Go ahead.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell her, the Israelites are kind of like a front line. To me, they are the front line. They're defending their right to their religion. I think religion is at the base of it. And if you stop to think about it, you're one small part of a big picture. They're also attacking religious peoples in other countries and with their terrorist activities. And if Israel goes down, I just think that there will be a big wave of terrorists. And their ultimate aim, I think, is to take over the world. And that would none of us would have freedom of religion or freedom of thought. And so it's a very important part of the big picture. And I just think people should look at this in a more global way. Israel is fighting to maintain their freedom of religion and their freedom to live.
To exist.
And it's so very important in the big picture of things. Anyway, that's what I wanted to tell Kay.
Thank you very much for saying
thank
that.
You.
Appreciate your call in KSCO and listening to KSCO and tell everybody you know. Rick in Scotts Valley, you're the next caller to the KSCO Saturday special. And we only got about a minute here, so please hurry. And sorry.
Hi, Sam. Charlie, do you use the Bible as part of your history reference?
I have not read the Bible except for, there was recently an illustrated Genesis put out that I read, but I'm familiar with a lot of the Bible's stories and traditions, but I've never actually sat down and read the book from cover to cover, no.
Well, there are two Bibles.
There was the first history book in the United States.
You're talking about the Bible? Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
But you realize it was the first history book in our school?
It's the first history book in the Western world.
Are we talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament?
20,000.
You know what? I don't know what's happening to the phone line, but that's it. It's the end of the program. My gosh, I just want to thank everybody. Apologies to Downtown Al and Mark in Watsonville. We won't be able to get to your calls today. We've got 30 seconds left of the program. I want to thank Charlie and Mom.
I'm glad to have been here. Thank you for
everybody,
asking.
I will be out next week. Don't know who's going to be guest hosting, but we'll find out. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. See you in 2 weeks anyhow, but keep listening to KSCO.
That's all.
Here's Fox News.
We've begun to reverse the devastating slide, but we have a long way to go to repair the damage from this recession. And that will continue to be my focus every single day.
The president capitalizing on yesterday's news that employers had added 162,000 jobs in March and the January and February jobless numbers had been revised upward. The GOP response to the president's weekend multimedia speech, another attack on the Obama agenda and the spending that comes with it.
At this time of high unemployment, when we need to focus on jobs, we should not be expanding government spending, government commitments, and government promises that crowd out the small businessman and businesswoman.
Republican Congressman Kevin McCarthy. The FBI indicates it's expecting all 50 of the nation's governors will eventually get letters from an anti-government group telling them to leave office or be forced out. About 30 governors so far have received the communication from the outfit calling itself Guardians of the Free Republics, which says it wants to, quote, restore America by peacefully dismantling parts of the government. An unsettling incident in Iraq where gunmen who were wearing Iraqi military uniforms raided homes in a Sunni village just south of Baghdad and killed 24 people, including 5 women. Many of the dead were members of what are called awakening councils, groups of former Sunni insurgents who helped change the course of the war by turning against Al-Qaeda and throwing in with U.S. troops. All U.S. forces still on track to withdraw from Iraq by December of next year. In the meantime, those still there continuing to keep a relatively low profile, with security duties now taken over by Iraqis. And on this Easter weekend,
we try to kind of slow things down. We have less formal meetings so people can just, you know, sleep in a little bit, relax. We also do a special meal, so it's kind of almost like Thanksgiving in a sense, with prime rib, honey baked ham.
Colonel Chuck Bush, the U.S. Army's Director of Plans and Operations. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends, only on Fox. Smart, tough, trusted. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge. We let you decide.
The midterm election's still 7 months away, but the political winds already blowing are likely to reveal trends long before that.
You can do all the polls you want, but the best way to gauge the mood of the American voter is coming up in 6 weeks, De Facto Super Tuesday. That's May 18th, when 3 potentially bellwether states go to the polls: Arkansas, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania. If you take on the whole month of May, 8 different states will vote. These are all primary races, Democrats against Democrats and Republicans against Republicans, but it will demonstrate how the nation feels about establishment candidates versus challengers. With record low congressional approval numbers in some polls, challengers just might have the upper hand. In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News Radio.
The Space Shuttle Discovery is sitting on its Cape Canaveral launch pad with only a 20% chance that fog could impede its scheduled Monday morning 6:21 a.m. liftoff. NASA's mission management team with a thumbs-up assessment of the status of the shuttle and its rockets, with vigilance as the watchword.
We do a great job of never having the same accident again, but that's not the real challenge, right? The challenge is to not have the accident you don't know is coming.
Team Chairman Mike Moses. The shuttle's carrying 7 astronauts to the International Space Station. A star football player from Cincinnati's St. Xavier High School being mourned today after his accidental death while on spring break.
17-year-old Matt James died in Panama City Beach, Florida, after falling from a balcony of the Days Inn Motel Friday night. The 6'6", 290-pound football player appeared to have died instantly. James was an all-city and all-state linebacker and had been expected to play for Notre Dame in the fall. James is not the only spring breaker to die from falling from a balcony this season. A 19-year-old man from Georgia fell from a fifth-floor motel balcony, also in Panama City Beach, Florida. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Cleveland Browns tackle Sean Rogers in court today, pleading not guilty to a concealed weapons charge after authorities say he was found carrying a loaded handgun through airport security. He says he forgot the gun was in the bag. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast for the weekend. Today, partly sunny, high of 60, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 40 with west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday looks like we're going to have 70% chance of rain. It's supposed to shower in the morning, then steady rain by the afternoon. It's going to be about 58 degrees with south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And out on the Monterey Bay, the south winds 5.